This afternoon, we're looking at one verse in our text, but we're definitely going to be referencing many other verses of Scripture. Verse number 44, and Jesus says, Matthew 13, 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I pray today that you would help me to be able to rightly divide it and make it, that we can take it in. And your Holy Spirit, of course, has to do the work that I cannot do, but I pray that I would be led by the Spirit, and you would take out anything that you wouldn't want said, add in anything you would want said. And I do pray today for anyone that's listening, especially that's not saved. They don't know if they died today, they would go to heaven. I pray that before the meeting is out today, they would be saved. For that Christian that has wandered far away from you, that today they would come home to you and they would get right with you today, even in this meeting. And we just thank you again that we can have church on the Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The theme of this parable is called the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure. Now, I want us to do something by way of introduction, and I believe I have time for this today. And Pastor Wadley, I'm going to ask you at about 20 till 3, don't worry about the clock right now, it can just stay right where it's at, but about 20 to 3, give me a thumbs up, because I have no idea what time it is, and we'll get that moved for later, okay? And but I want to take an introduction to this lesson and think about treasure. Now, we're going to give the application. We're going to talk about what we believe this means here in just a minute. But I want to kind of start out by saying that we have the Bible, all right? If you have your Bible, would you just hold your Bible in your hand, all right? Maybe it's in your lap. Would you just hold it in your hand? And hopefully you're holding more than an iPad or an iPhone, okay? Hold the Bible in your hand. This is treasure. This is treasure. Now, that's not what we're talking about in this story, but it'll flow into it, okay? And this is treasure. When you have a copy of the Word of God, you have an invaluable treasure. You cannot put a price tag on the Word of God. Many people have given their life, their life's blood, that we could continue to have a copy of the Word of God. In other words, they've died for the Bible. For having a Bible, they gave their life. For not recanting, for not speaking out against the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And I tell you, so many people have tried to get rid of the Bible through the years, and that's not the point. The point is that in this book is treasure. Now, if you just have your Bible sitting on the coffee table, like my Bible is sitting on the pulpit, you can say that it is the Word of God, and that's true, and you can say that it is filled with treasure, and that's true, but if it just sits like that for the next 6 days, I'm going to tell you something. You are not going to discover the treasure that is found in the Word of God. If all you are doing, especially right now, if all you are doing is listening to a live stream service and not having this as a part of your daily spiritual consumption, you're missing out on the treasure. So I want to give you quickly, this is going to be review, okay? But I want to give you five things quickly to think about and to make sure that you are discovering all of the treasure that God has for you in His Word. Okay, here we go. Ready? Number one, you must read it. You must read it. You are not going to be able to discover the treasure in this book unless you open it up and unless you read it. That means you need to have a plan. Are you going to read one verse a day, one chapter a day, one book a day? That would be tough unless it's like Jude or something like that. I'm not trying to be cute right there or funny, but have a plan. There's plans all over the place. You can find them online. I can give you one, but have a plan. By the way, it doesn't mean that you have to read through as fast as you possibly can, okay? That's not what we're saying. But do some reading of the Word of God. And I think it needs to be a little more than you take your Bible and you do one of these numbers. Let's see. Okay, now I'm going to read it. No, I think you need to have a plan in place, all right? And the plan isn't stick your thumb in like that one guy that put his thumb and pulled out a plum, and well, I don't remember what that nursery rhyme was, but anyway, no, have a plan, have a plan. I would encourage you to read the Proverbs, one Proverbs every day. I would encourage you to read some of the Psalms every day, portions of the Psalm every day. I would encourage you to read a little bit from the Old and a little bit from the New. Oh, I don't have time for that. Yes, you can't afford not to read the Word of God. That's the way you're going to find the treasure. Number two, read the Bible. Number two, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. You know what? You find a word in your Bible, and I have told Anchor Baptist Church this for many years, recent years, that now that the Strong's Concordance, if you have one, use that. If you want to continue to use that, you can. I must admit, I don't use that as much anymore. I like to use blueletterbible.org. The color blue, blueletterbible.org. And you can go on there, and it has the Strong's on there. It has a search engine for words. And you may find a word when you're reading the Bible. You may find a word and you want to see, oh, I wonder if this word is anywhere else in the Bible. I wonder where what its context is over here. Search the Scriptures, and you're looking for the word for that word. And then number three kind of goes along with that. Compare Scripture with Scripture. We did that last night. If you were listening, we started in Mark chapter 8 in the feeding of the 4,000, and then we went back to Matthew's account of the same story. That happens numerous times, especially in the New Testament Gospels, where we'll have a story here, we'll have a story there. It's the same story from a different person's viewpoint. And you know how that is. You and I could witness the same event, and we would tell it a little bit differently. And so, of course, we know that all of the Bible is God-breathed. It is not a book by man. And so God used different men to pen the Word of God, and their different, not abilities, but just their personalities and who they were, it goes all together with it. So read it, search the Scripture, compare Scripture with Scripture. Number four, memorize it. Memorize it. I wonder, when's the last time you memorized some of the Bible? And I tell you what, the earlier you start on that journey, the better. But continue to memorize the Word of God. And I've been very open about this. I learned a lot of verses of Scripture, and the thing that I'm struggling with right now is remembering the address. Remembering the address. That's called the reference, but I call it the address. I can remember a lot of those verses, but for some reason I have started to forget the chapter and the verse, and that's my fault. So I need to work on that. And then lastly, number five, meditate. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. That's why when you read the Bible in the morning, I would suggest you read some in the morning, unless your morning is your night and you work third shift. We have some people like that. But read it before you go to work, then in the evening. Then you've got the Word of God in your mind, and you can meditate on it. You can think about the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You're familiar with that verse of Scripture, which says this about the Bible itself. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable. And so all of it, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the Word of God. Okay, so that's just kind of really, it does have something to do with what we're talking about here today, because I believe the Bible is the greatest treasure that we have in our hands today as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible, and then, of course, the local New Testament church, maybe side by side, and we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about tangible, okay? So let's get into the outline of our text, Matthew 13, 44. Number one, we're going to look at the treasure. The treasure. It talks of, Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. Now, we're not giving a main subpoint or a main point to this, but let's talk about the field first, and then we'll come back to the treasure. Do you remember what the field is? Remember comparing Scripture with Scripture? Remember looking at verses in context? Remember a couple of stories ago, we learned that the field is the world. Okay, if you look back up in verse 38, the field is the world. All right? And I don't believe that has changed from one parable to the next. I believe we can make that same application. So we know that the field is the world. We have the Bible reference there, Psalm 135 in verse 4. Would you hold your place in Matthew 13 and go with me to Psalm 135 in verse 4? And let's look at this treasure. This treasure, Psalm 135 and verse 4. The Bible says there, for the Lord hath chosen who? Jacob unto himself, and who? Israel, for his peculiar treasure. Notice that word, peculiar treasure. So, what, or we could say, who is the treasure in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44? It is the nation of Israel. It is the Jewish people. It isn't, by the way, just people in Israel. You do recognize that there are Jewish people all over the world. I mean, all over the world. In fact, they're spread out all over the world. And so the treasure that is spoken of, that Jesus is speaking of here, and the psalmist says that that Israel is God's peculiar treasure. And I do believe that we need to honor God's treasure. Now, that doesn't mean that God loves somebody more than somebody else, but God is allowed to have a chosen people. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We'll show you a couple of verses of Scripture. So, the treasure is the nation of Israel, more specific, all Jewish people. All right, let's look at number two. Notice, in this parable, the Bible says that the number two, the treasure is hidden. The treasure is hidden. The treasure right now is insignificant. Its existence is insignificant because it is hidden. And I believe that it is still hidden today. And so it's not as significant as it will be someday. You notice the verse of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now let's remember something about this particular area of Scripture, The last nine books of the New Testament are called the Hebrew Christian Church Epistles, okay? So they are primarily an audience. Not that doesn't mean we don't get anything from it, but the audience, the original audience for these books were converted Jews, okay? So Jews that had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And by the way, just so you know, and I'm going to say it multiple times, Jesus Christ did not die just for the Jews. Jesus Christ did not die just for the Gentiles. He died for all people. By the way, you're either one or the other, okay? And so, praise the Lord that salvation is for all. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, okay? Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Okay? So that's who Peter's talking about here in the beginning of this first epistle, is the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure being the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. All right? Number three. We've got to keep moving to get all this ground covered. Number three, notice it says in our text, the which when a man hath found. So number three, the man who found the treasure. Have you ever found something that you were looking for? Have you ever found buried treasure? All right. Have you ever been in part of a search and you found it? Well, here the Bible says Jesus speaks of a man who hath found the treasure. Would you go with me to the Old Testament book of Zechariah? Zechariah. Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah is right before Malachi. Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, if you want to kind of know where to kind of put your thumb in there and look around. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Does this sound familiar? And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is none other than reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that this man in Matthew 13, 44, that found the treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that up there for you on the outline. Okay, number four. Look what it says that happened then, that what happens after he found it. Notice, he hideth. He hideth. So number four, the treasure is hidden again. Okay, I mean, think about this. Think about it in a sense of what how we think about things. We find a treasure. Last thing on our minds is probably going to be hiding it again or burying it again. But that's what the Bible here. Again, Jesus is giving these parables. Okay, he hideth it again. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 43. Matthew 21, 43. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So we believe that Israel, nothing has changed. Israel is still God's chosen people, the Jewish people. However, I do believe that Israel is currently this hidden treasure. They are hidden for a time. In fact, I would encourage you, I'm going to read a couple of verses from this, but I would encourage you this week in your Bible reading that we just talked about a little bit ago about how you can get in the Word of God. I want to encourage you to read Romans 9, 10, and 11. You make note of that somewhere so you remember. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Because it will give you a little bit more. If we can't cover all those chapters in time, this is an overview. This is an overview of the parable. However, I am going to give you a couple of verses within these chapters right now. Listen carefully, if you would, to this verse. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. This is the verse I was alluding to a few moments ago. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And I've written this down. God does everything right. There isn't anything that God has ever done that is wrong. Everything that God does works together for good. Everything that God does, he is accomplishing a purpose, a task that he has already seen in advance, because God sees everything. He's omniscient and omnipresent and all of those things and all-knowing. That's omniscient. And he's everywhere. And so here it is that God has the right, and he's chosen the nation of Israel, specifically the Jewish people. Look down, if you will, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans 10, 12, or you can just listen to me as I read it right here. The Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's the Jew and the Gentile. Okay? No difference. I hope you're with me on this, and you understand that I'm not saying here today that the Jewish people are here and you and I are down here. Now, if you're Jewish, I believe you're what we're talking about. I believe you're the hidden treasure that we're speaking of here in Matthew 13, 44. I don't know how much of our audience is Jewish, but you are God's chosen people. That will never change. Now, think about this. God is not finished with the Jewish people. God is not finished with the nation of Israel. In fact, in the book of the Revelation, it tells us that there's going to be 144,000 evangelists. And do you know what these evangelists are? These evangelists are Jewish people. 12,000 Jewish people from each of the 12 tribes. Do your multiplication. Remember, we talked about that. That's one of the things I've been able to keep a hold of. And I think that's 144,000. I want you to see a verse with me. Zechariah chapter 13. You were there a minute ago. Maybe you stayed there. If you did, good for you. If not, it's good practice to be able to find these minor prophets. Zechariah is a minor prophet. Do you know why Zechariah is a minor prophet? Simply because it's a smaller book. Okay? It doesn't mean that the content is not important. It's just a smaller book. We obviously know some of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. They're not small books. Isaiah has, does anybody remember how many chapters Isaiah has in it? We talked about it a little while ago. Do you remember? It has 66 chapters in it. You know, it's a mini Bible. You can think of it that way. There's 66 books in the Bible. Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. And so, anyway, Zechariah chapter 13, look at verse number 1. Look what it says. In that day, the coming of the Lord, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David. Who's that speaking about? The Jewish people. Shall be open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of where? Jerusalem. For sin and uncleanness. So, as of right now the treasure is hidden, and yet God has a purpose for the Jews. God is going, they are his chosen people, and God is, by the way, the church did not, let me just tell you this by way of, you know, free PS or whatever. The church did not replace the Jewish people. It did not replace them. They are hidden right now. We are living in the church age. Amen? We are living in the church age. But that doesn't mean that the Jewish people have no significance for the future. There is something coming, all right? So number one, the treasure, okay? The treasure is Jewish people. Number two, the treasure is hidden. Number three, the man who found the treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. He then, number four, hides the treasure again. All right, that leads us to number five. Notice what it says back in our text. And for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that what? Field. Now, I believe there's some, it's very important to recognize that it did, what it did not say. You remember what we said the field is? The field is the world. According to verse 38, I believe that just carries over. Okay? So what did Jesus set aside, or who did Jesus set aside in the field? The Jews. But then it says that this man, Jesus Christ, number five, the man sold everything. The man sold everything. Look what it says there. Goeth and selleth all that he hath. I want you to think about this. John 3:16, you know the verse. Say it with me if you know the verse. Ready? Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. All that he hath. That his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves all people. God loves the Jew. God loves the Gentile. God loves the Canadian, God loves the European, God loves the Latino, God loves the Dutch people, God loves all people groups. For God so loved the world. The Bible says here that he goeth and he sells everything that he hath, the field and what is in the field. Think it, don't miss it. Not just the treasure, but also the field. So the field is the world. I believe that's us. The treasure that's buried in the field is the Jewish people. God loves it all. God loves the field. God loves the treasure. God loves the treasure. God loves the field. So don't ever think for any moment that there's anyone on the face of this earth that God doesn't love. Now, God doesn't love our sin. God doesn't love your sin. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that God would give his only begotten Son so that the price could be paid for the field and for the treasure in the field. How does a Jew get saved? Same way I did. Same way you did if you're saved. We all come to Jesus. We all come to salvation through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It matters not. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The field and what is in the field is loved by God. Boy, that ought to encourage you today. God is love. 1 John 4:8. We love, or 1 John 4:8. God is love. And I can't remember the reference. We love him because he first loved us. See, there you go. I've already forgotten that reference. Maybe you know it. You can text me later and remind me of what it is. Some of you have the references still too. Praise the Lord. So the man sold everything. And that leads us to our, I believe, our last point. We're not to the close yet, but we're getting there. Number six, the man bought the field. And I kind of alluded to that already. Go to 1 John chapter 2, because I was too excited about it. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, that's a good word, isn't it? Any man sin. We have an advocate with the Father. Who's our advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He is the appeasing, if you will, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The man bought the field. He bought what was in the field. He bought the field itself. How did he buy it? He bought it with his precious blood. Jesus Christ, slain before the foundation of the world. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he paid the penalty. He bought the field. He paid the penalty for my sin and your sin. Think about it today. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He bought the field. This quote, Christ is our mercy seat. Christ is our mercy seat. He is our place of salvation and mercy. He is the one who satisfied the holiness of a just God who demanded payment for sin. I come to you this afternoon as we close this Sunday school time down with just some final thoughts. Here we go. Salvation is for everyone. For everyone. That includes you, sir. That includes you, ma'am. That includes you, teenager. I guess you're not listening, teenager. You're in the Zoom class. But maybe you're going to watch it later, okay? Jesus Christ provided salvation, paid the penalty, bought the field, paid it all for the entire world. Oh, if you've never been saved, if you've never humbled yourself before Almighty God, admitting that your sin deserves to send you to a hell forever. The Bible says that hell is eternal as much as the heaven is eternal. That's what I deserve for my sin. That's what you deserve for your sin. But salvation can be yours this afternoon. You can accept the gift of eternal life. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him. Received who? The man who bought the field. Jesus Christ. Salvation is through a person. It's not through a program. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, not the church. No matter what you've been told, and I be respectful for whoever told it to you, but if they told you that you were saved because you're a churchgoer, they're wrong. No, we're saved because of the man who bought the field. We're saved because the Lord Jesus Christ reached down his hand and pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a solid rock, who is Jesus. Jesus Christ had to go to Calvary in order to buy the field. He had to go to Calvary in order to buy the field. I just got my signal. Good. Did I see it late? Okay, I'm okay. Thank you, brother. There was a price that had to be paid. A high price. Why are we trying to earn salvation when the price has already been paid? If he had not sold all that he had, there would be no salvation. Today, my salvation is paid in full. When I was 9 years old, I recognized the great need that I had to be saved. I grew up in church. I wasn't saved. I thank God for my parents who took me to church. Right out of the hospital, home for I don't know how long, and then in church. And praise God, I've been in church ever since. But you know what? If I hadn't made that decision from my heart to turn from my sinfulness and my unbelief and turning to my belief in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that I am an unworthy sinner headed for a Christless eternity, it doesn't matter if I got perfect attendance for 47 years of church. There had to be a time in my life where conviction came. And by the way, conviction must come before conversion. That's why we always ask the Holy Spirit of God to work and convict, because you know what? The words of Pastor Wadley and the words of Pastor Turner cannot bring conviction, but the Word of God can. And the Word of God does. What a beautiful, beautiful parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. God's chosen people, from our study today and from others I'm sure that you've done and heard, are the Jewish people. They are buried right now. They play a major role in prophecy. We see that. We saw a little bit of that today. But here's the deal. If you're not saved today, don't worry about your nationality. You need Jesus. You need to come to Christ. Come to Him today. He's bought what needed to be paid for. Now you must receive it by faith and apply it to your account.